Good evening. From this magnificent series that Matt's been taking us through, which I can't emulate, I'll treat it my own way, we've come to a very exciting part, which is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And I will be reading from the New Living Translation. And it goes like this. As for us, that's Paul and his companions, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved of the Lord. Please remember that we're loved of the Lord. That comes up in a bit. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. So first of all, you're loved. Secondly, you are chosen in the salvation. It's a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy. Hello, holy people. How are you getting on? I'm looking for the halos. He makes you holy through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching that we passed on to you in person and by letter. In many translations, and possibly in yours, it says, stand firm and hold on. Did it say hold on? That's good. Remember that. It's going to come up in a minute. With these things... Oh, no, we've done that bit. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us by his grace, give us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do. Now, Matt has taken us through this series in 2 Thessalonians, and there's a couple of things that stand out really clear and plain, even to me. Number one, we're going to see Jesus. Now, that may not excite you, that may not be new, that may not be different, but it sure is real. You are going to meet Jesus. Some of us may do it before others, but that's neither here nor there. One thing for sure, when he comes, we're going to see him. Now, theologically, I know you understand that. Doctrinally, I know you accept it. But I wonder if I can put some shoes on it in a way that says, guys, this is awesome. God is going to step out of eternity and he's going to visit planet Earth and you are going to see him. It actually goes on a little bit to say that when you see him, you're going to be... That was a bit weak. He says that when you see him, you're going to be... You better believe it. Isn't that extraordinary? Now, I know that many of us struggle with guilt and fear and problems and difficulties. And in fact, sometimes life is really difficult, but we come back to this verse. What am I trying to say here? Stand firm and hold on. If life is overwhelming, if life is getting difficult, if there's a challenge, if there are things you're not able to deal with immediately, then what I want to say is a message for tonight. Stand firm and hold on, because our God is going to overcome. He's going to win the fight. He's going to come. He's going to transform us. And we are going to be on the victory side. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 16 and verse 13, in one of the translations, it says, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage, be strong, and do everything in love. And I think that sort of sums it up a little bit. There was a man in the Bible who I'm sure you've heard of. His name was Elijah. I will digress a little bit, and when that comes up, there we go. And he was called of God, and he's quite an extraordinary prophet. And we know that he was on Mount Carmel, and there he met with God, and he called down fire from heaven. Now, it just so happens that the king of the time, King Ahab, came and had words with him. And the king wasn't too pleased because he'd lost all his profits. And he had a wife who was a bit of a witch called Jezebel. And they lived in Jezreel. Now, from Mount Carmel, where this took place, to Jezreel was about 100 miles. In the book of Kings, there's an absolute remarkable story. If we go on to the next slide. Sometimes God expects the church to step up to an approaching challenge with supernatural power and authority. We go on to the next slide. No, go back one. That's my fault. Sorry. I get that. No, we go back to, and the words, if you don't mind. Yeah, sometimes God expects the church to step up to an approaching challenge with supernatural power and authority. Now, Elijah and the king had words. God intervened, and victory was given to Elijah. In the second book of Kings, we read that moment, King Ahab left Mount Carmel and went back to Jezreel, where his wife was living. And there's an absolute extraordinary verse, which I will read to you in 2 Kings 18. And it says this, in verse 46. One Kings 18. I will settle in a minute. Thank you. You may remember that there was been a drought in the land, and there'd been no water for 7 years, I think it was. And Elijah was praying, "Lord, let the rain come." And his servant went up and saw a cloud the size, a black cloud coming, which was the size of a man's hand. And as soon as the sky was black with clouds, a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. They were up in Carmel. It's 100 miles. King Ahab had a chariot with horses, and the rain was coming, and the horses were possibly at least galloping and getting there as quick as they could over that 100 miles. And the amazing thing is that the Lord gave special strength. He gave an empowerment of the Spirit whereby he was able to tuck his coat into his belt and run ahead of Ahab's chariot. Isn't that extraordinary? And he ran 100 miles quicker than the horse and chariot. This is the man who, by the grace of God, could call down fire from heaven. This is the man of whom James says he had great faith. And when he prayed the prayer of faith, the rain came from heaven. And now God is doing this extraordinary, outlandish experience of being able to outrun the chariot and get to Jezreel, where Ahab's wife was. Sometimes, as we walk with God, we see the unexpected, and we experience the unexpected, and we rejoice, and we're happy. And then suddenly, it can all go wrong. And here was a man of great faith, of great experience, running quicker than his enemy, getting to the gates of the palace, and it says that he ran away from the wife. Not his wife, the king's wife. And fear ran the day, ruined the day. Sometimes God expects the church to step up to an approaching challenge with supernatural power and authority. I think currently and in God's time, from reading the book of Thessalonians as we have, the words that I've just read, stand firm and hold on, are very relevant. Because you and I may have experienced God's presence. We may have known God's blessing, God's provision. We may have known God's miracle touch on our lives. But it doesn't exempt us from rough times and difficult days. And the message I feel God's put on my heart for tonight is this: stand firm and hold on, for we're in with a rough ride, but God has provided everything we need. Not just materially, not just educationally, but by His Spirit. And there are times when we just need that anointing of God that will enable us to stand up to the unexpected opposition. How could Elijah call fire from heaven, see the rain released, run a horse, and then run away from a stumbling block? And my encouragement tonight to the church is that when we have and embrace the stumbling blocks, we don't run away from the God who's called us. If there's a message I want to get over tonight, is that life is going to get tougher. Things are going to get more difficult. We're going to meet challenges that we don't know how to embrace or how to handle. And that is not the time to give up. That's not the time to run away. That's not the time to turn your back on God who called you. Because God has given you a spiritual anointing, spiritual authority, a spiritual encounter that will take you through the darkest night, the greatest challenge of every day, and will bring you through victorious. This church faces, I believe, decisions in the immediate future, but it will also face challenges in the distant future. And just because you feel blessed tonight doesn't mean to say you won't feel challenged tomorrow. Just because you feel that God is blessing the socks off you tonight, it doesn't mean to say that you won't have to face the difficulties and the challenges of tomorrow. And I think that that is embedded right inside of these verses that we've been reading in Thessalonians in recent days. God is calling and expecting the church and us as individuals to fulfill His role in the coming days. Just like Elijah had to do that, so also we are going to have to face the future. And so in the light of the immediate plans and His eternal purposes, we need to know that God is with us. In the book of Thessalonians, Matt has been explaining very, very clearly that Jesus is definitely coming back to planet Earth. It's going to happen, guys. It's illogical. It won't fit with science, but it's the very heart of the message of the gospel and the scriptures that we read. Christ will appear. But in the meantime, it tells us that life will be difficult and challenging and dangerous, especially for Christians. As we look around the world today, it's not hard just to see the unrest in the nations. We see a stirring in the nations of the world. We see an unrest. And we just wonder what's going on with the politicians and with the finances and with the world's resources. There's an unsettledness. And we think that, well, life can get difficult. Life can be challenging. But God's word comes to us tonight. We must stand firm and hold on until Christ appears. We need to understand what's going on. And in Thessalonians, we see that, first of all, that God is in control. Everything is under His authority. And this may surprise you. God knows what He's doing. We have a God that is so intimately bound up with each one of us, He actually knows what He's doing. The Bible tells us this: God never makes a mistake. It may surprise you, it may not go down too well, but God has not made a mistake in the world He's created, and He's not making a mistake in your life at this moment. I'm not saying you're not challenged. I'm not saying you don't have things you don't know what to deal, how to deal with them. But one thing is for sure, he never makes a mistake. He never gets it wrong. He knows what he's doing. He knows who he's called, and he knows his hand is upon you. Listen to these verses. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purposes. Okay. There are moments that are rough, moments that are difficult. The word of the Lord comes out, hold on, stand fast, because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And what you see as a tragedy is going to become a triumph. What you see as a mistake is going to become a miracle, because our God in heaven has not left you or forsaken you. You're not abandoned to your own resources. Ephesians 1:11, for he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Okay? Elijah fluffed it right at the end, but nevertheless, God worked out everything according to his plan. God is going to work out everything according to his plan pertaining to this church and its building. God is going to work everything out according to his plan about the leadership and the direction. God is going to work out everything according to his plan in your life and in my life. God has not given up on me yet, even though I've given him a rough time. We know that Jesus is coming. Personally, I believe that Jesus is quite excited about it. That may surprise you, but I think he is. There are 15 occasions in the Synoptic Gospels alone where Jesus mentions this. He says, I will come back and take you to myself. For as the lightning comes from the east and is visible in the west, so the coming of the Son of Man will occur. These are the words of Jesus. And he says, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky. I hope this is painting a picture. He's going to take us where he is. He's going to come like the lightning comes. He's going to come like the Son of Man riding on the clouds of glory. No one knows about the hour or the day, not even the angels in heaven, but the Father knows. So you must be ready, for the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect him. Hold on, stand firm. That's the message. And we just got to get there. What a day of rejoicing for those who know that we are standing on. For we shall see we will see Jesus, and our reward will include his blessing. Just want to divert a little bit, because sometimes, oh dear. Yes. Sometimes we go through life as Christians, and sometimes it's a little bit of a struggle. Sometimes we even wonder if it's worth it all. But we know it is. And we know that we'll overcome, because this is the promise of God. Did you know that when you see Jesus, he's going to give you 5 crowns? I don't mean half a crown. I meant a crown of glory. There's a verse in Revelation that's talking about some of the magnificent creatures of heaven who will cast their crowns before him. And I know that many Christians think that they're going to cast their crowns before him. Well, that's not what the Bible says, and I'm sure we will, but you are going to receive 5 crowns from Christ. You're going to receive the crown of righteousness. There is reserved for me in the future the crown of righteousness, which the Lord righteous judge will give me. You have been made righteous by Christ, and you are going to receive the crown of righteousness. There's the crown of life. Don't fear about what you're going to suffer. Be faithful, and I will give you the crown of life. There's the victor's crown. Run in such a way that you will complete the prize. for you will receive a crown that is imperishable, incorruptible. You're going to receive the crown of glory. And it says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And there's the crown of rejoicing. For what is our hope or our crown of rejoicing? It is the Lord Jesus at his coming. The excitement, the expectation, the fulfillment, the complete purpose of God will be fulfilled when Christ comes in all his glory, and you will be central to that event. Hold on. Stand firm. We will overcome. We know from the scriptures that we've been looking at, there are five signs of Christ's coming. We know that there are going to be signs in the heavens that indicate his coming. We know that there's going to be signs on the earth and with the unrest and the difficulties that the world is experiencing at the moment. They're all recorded in the scripture as signs of his coming. We know that the nation of Israel is in particular is going to be a major sign of his coming. And we know that the church, you and I, are signs of his coming. And then there will be the manifestation of a person that will seek to belittle Christ and tear him down and ridicule him, the man of sin. And that will be a major sign. It means that we live in difficult days and dangerous days. But even in these days, that message from Thessalonians comes, stand firm. Hold on, we will overcome. In the book of Daniel, it says his army will take over the temple fortress, polluting the sanctuary. He will flatter and win over those who have violated the company. But the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. In the book of Daniel, it was written all those many years ago that you and I, living in this age, who know our God will be strong and will do exploits. Sometimes we need to lift our eyes. Sometimes we need to understand what God is doing. These are difficult days. These are challenging days. These are days when it seems like Satan or the evil that's around us is able to prevent the blessings and purposes of God being fulfilled in our lives. I know of many people who are frustrated, who are challenged, and the expectations that they had of God opening doors and opportunities or providing or bringing in those relationships, it can go wrong, it can go sour. It can be tinged with sadness. And yet God says, we shall overcome. And we will push through when we hold on and stand firm. Many of us who are called of God are experiencing tough times. There's no exception to that. Those are the days in which we live. I just want to say, brothers and sisters, don't give up. Don't capitulate. Don't bow down to the forces that would seek to destroy you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your hope in the one who's called you. Keep your eyes lifted up because he who has promised will come. Guys, this is the time to stand firm and hold on to what we know to be true. The world around us may go crazy. The relationships around us may be difficult, but hold on to the promises of God. Several things that I think come out of that, and one of them this. Many of us who are called of God, we need to face, before we face the battle, we need to spend time with God. If Elijah was challenged, if Elijah felt that moment of failure, if Elijah had to run away from the woman that scared him, how much more are we going to feel like that? But hold on. Hold on, guys. He who is with us is greater than he who is against us. And then when we turn to the book of Thessalonians and chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, as for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters. You are loved of God, or in some translations it says, beloved. Number one, which is to me absolutely critical, I don't mind what you feel like tonight. I don't mind what your status is in your own opinion. Whatever happens, you are loved of God, and God cannot deny himself. God loves you. See how very much the Father loves us. He calls us his children, and that's what we are. You are loved of God, and you are a child of God. Never, ever believe anything or any person or any situation that devalues you as a child of God. You are a child of God. You can't be a half child. You are totally of God. In Peter 2:1, you are chosen of God. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. What? Child of God, you who are loved, you who are struggling to hold on and to stand firm, remember that you are God's very own possession. You are not a failure. You are not a disappointment. You are not a might be. You're not a has been. You are God's own possession. He loves you. He cares for you. He defends you. He protects you. And although the situation may go crazy and difficult and you don't understand, and as Paul says, Satan has hindered us, whenever Satan hinders us, God makes another way. Or God opens the door. Never give up on the call of God, on the presence of God. For those who are called by God to salvation, we discover that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in this world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the world, what the world considers foolish, in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing, and used them to bring nothing that the world considers important. God has chosen the weak of the weak, the weakest of the weak. God has chosen those who feel they have no future, no hope, because God loves you. No matter what your struggle, no matter what your environment, no matter what your situation, right now, the God who is coming, the Jesus who is coming, says, stand firm, hold fast. I love you. I love you. And I'm coming because I love you. That's extraordinary. When the writer to the Hebrews was contemplating this, he said, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and keep their souls. Hey, we're not going to run away, are we? We're not going to give up just because the going gets a bit tough, just because we can't see a way through. We're not going to abandon the one that's coming for us. No, we're going to push back into God, and we're going to be more than overcomers through him who calls us. Yes, we're going to be shaken. Yes, we're going to be tested. Yes, we're going to be knocked down, but we're going to get up again. Yes, we feel that there are times when we failed, but we're going to learn the lessons, and we're then going to go on with God. So don't give up. Don't run away. Don't despair. You belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit that lives in the world. Loved of God, chosen of God, tested of God. You've been through the mill, you've been through the challenges, but you belong to God. You are special. You are chosen. And He's put His Spirit within you. That Spirit is greater than the Spirit that lives in the world. 1 Peter 1:5. God is protecting you by His power until you receive His salvation. God is protecting you. Hold on, hold on. Hold fast. Stand firm. Don't be shaken. Don't run away. Don't give up. God loves you. God has called you. God is using you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you, is what Paul wrote in Timothy. In times of testing, in times of challenge, when the going's tough and life is difficult, and we hear the words of Paul saying, stand firm, hold fast, we've got to remember that He will give us the power to accomplish all that He's asked us to do. I believe we're going to face even greater challenging days. I don't want to upset anybody. We're going to face growing hostility. We're going to face seen and unseen dark powers. I think the word of the Lord comes to us and says this. Keep the word of God alive in your heart. I know that God speaks to each one of you. I know that the Spirit of God speaks to you. I know as you read the scriptures, there are times when the scriptures just burst into life and something comes off the page and it settles upon our hearts. It settles in our minds and it won't move. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will rise up a banner against him. And the word that God has put on your heart will become your sword. Don't let the grief overwhelm you. Don't let the doubts drag you down. Don't let that which is against you rob you of the truth. Because the word of God that is hidden in your heart will win the day. And we need to have faith in what God has said and not what other people are saying to us. We need to have faith in where God is leading us and not what the world seems as is impossible. We need to enter into the experiences that the prophet Elijah had. but not give up when he meets the ultimate foe. Every test you take, every test you go through makes you stronger for God. Every trial you go through makes you richer in God and develops your holiness. Hide the word of God. I don't believe for one moment there's a person here that's not hearing the word of God. I hope. Surely the word that is a lamp unto our feet, that the illumination of the mind, it's alive. It's a living word. Take the word, not your doubts. Another thing here, I hope this comes over well. When you're facing challenging days and seeing an unseen darkness, keep alive your intimate relationship with God. Keep alive your intimate relationship. God loves you. Do you love God? I know we're sort of middle-of-the-road evangelicals, but we are allowed to say, God, I love you. I love you, God. Thank you. I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. Hide the word of God in your heart. Keep alive your intimacy with God. Seek and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who leads us into all truth. The Spirit that will tell you things that are to come. The Spirit that tells us what is on the heart of Jesus. The Spirit that equips you with all the spiritual graces and gifts. Keep alive your relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he brings revelation and understanding of the purposes of God. We need the Word. We need the relationship. We need the Holy Spirit. The prayer of Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:16 to 17, it comes at the end of our passage, says this: "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say." So that passage ends up with that prayer. I want to pray that prayer over you. I want to pray that prayer into your heart, into your spirit, into your psyche. I just want God, by his power, by his love, by his grace, to help you deal with the issues you've got to deal with, to deal with the future you've got to contend with. I want to be numbered amongst people who've finished the course, who run the race. I want to be numbered amongst those who are the overcomers. I want to be part of you. We live in challenging days, dark days. It's going to get harder. And the word of God comes out tonight: stand firm. Please, stand firm. Stand on the rock. Don't be easily moved. Hold on to what you know is true. Hold on tight. Rough days are coming, but God is going to see me through. Our God is going to get us to the other side. We are going to overcome. And the prayer, and I'll read it again. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you. Comfort you in your challenge. Comfort you in your struggle. Comfort you in your doubts. And strengthen you for the task to overcome, to deal with the issues you've got to deal with. In every good thing you do and say, for Jesus' sake. Amen.